Welcome back to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. In today's episode, we will sit down and speak with the editor and designer of the America Pray Now magazine. America Pray Now has been publishing a magazine on prayer for several years, which is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. In today's episode, Colleen Steedley and Rebecca Murray will share with us details of how the magazine is made. Speaking with Colleen and Rebecca today is America Pray Now leader, Josiah Alway.
If you've ever walked down your driveway, opened your mailbox to see somewhere in your mail a beautiful magazine specifically published for people of prayer, or if you're one of the ones that has walked into church on a Sunday morning to see in the foyer of the church a stack of magazines to encourage the congregation to pray and how to pray, then you're going to love this episode. We have with us the one and only Rebecca Murray, graphic designer, and the one and only Colleen Steedley, editor of the America Pray Now magazine. If you have no idea what I'm talking about so far, then you should go to americapraynow.com and subscribe to the America Pray Now magazine. It's totally free. There's no strings attached. It'll be a blessing for you just as it has been for me. And it's not a pamphlet. It's 100% a magazine dedicated to prayer with articles on prayer, quotes, history, things to pray for in government, even a section for kids, anything to do with prayer. americapraynow.com. Before I bring on our guests, let me go to the beginning on how this whole thing got started. In the spring of 2021, the president of America Pray Now, Jerry Alway, also my dad, and the director, Hannah Alway, were discussing the ideas of an America Pray Now pamphlet. When my dad, in the conversation, had to pause and go to get something in his office, and as he's walking to his office, he felt the Holy Spirit impress on him not to produce a pamphlet, but rather an actual magazine. So when he returned to the conversation with his wife, my mom, Hannah, he told her, and her response, of course, was one of shock. She was thinking, what, a magazine? Are you kidding? How's that even going to be possible? But as they discussed it, they realized that nothing is impossible with the Lord. And if it is His will, all the pieces would fall into place. And this magazine has been an enormous blessing for people across different denominations and churches. And people have sent us comments, different prayer partners across multiple states. And they've commented things like, the magazine has changed my life. We had a comment that said, the magazine has taught me so much and now I have a deeper prayer life. Another said that they've been giving prayer magazines out to other people, even people they don't know, almost like gospel tracts. Someone recently told us that they came across volume one of the magazine on their bookshelf, and they said they reread it, and it was as if they had read it for the first time, and they said it was a tremendous blessing. Another said, I leave the magazine on our coffee table, and when people come to visit, they pick them up and start reading them, and it has opened up conversations about the importance of prayer. We get so many comments like this. They're such a blessing. So without further ado, let me welcome the two people that make this magazine happen. Rebecca and Colleen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So how do you figure out where to start? Someone approaches you and says, hey, we want to produce a magazine. Where did you guys start? How did you figure out how to do this?
So I'm Colleen, and I've been involved with America Pray Now a lot of the time and helping out as like setting up hotels and all the different things for the meetings. And we used to do a digital newsletter. And then one of the times Hannah came to me and was like, we were thinking about doing a print newsletter. And so then we're like, okay. So we started working on the design for that. And then next thing you know, that got turned into a magazine, which Josiah already talked about how the Lord spoke. And then my good friend Rebecca kind of got pulled into the process a little bit because of her artistic graphic design skill, which is truly brilliant. And I'll let her take a little bit on from there on how we kind of got started from there.
Yeah, so this was definitely a side effect of being a friend with Colleen, was getting brought into this project. Definitely felt out of our depths from the start, but it was a cool project to figure out along the way, and the Always were really gracious to kind of give us the time we needed to get this off the ground. But I think the turning point was, yeah, trying to take a newsletter and then turn that into a magazine. We didn't realize initially even what a big project it was going to be. And maybe it was a help that we didn't fully know kind of what it would turn into. Because, yeah, we did not have prior experience in producing kind of large scale print productions. But what was really helpful is they had asked us to do one of the weeks of meetings and take some photos for the first magazine. And as part of that trip, we ended up staying with one of my dear high school friends in Lynchburg. And as we were staying with her and just talking about the reason why we were in town, I had forgotten really that she works as a graphic designer, and she was more than happy to set up, you know, the InDesign on my computer and showing how she had been working on some similar projects, even for another organization. And she really started us on the right foot and gave us a template to kind of start from and work for. And then even throughout that process of the very first magazine, she and another graphic designer friend were both super helpful in reviewing and making adjustments, helping me learn really what I should be looking for, as I was definitely out of my depth.
You have really good friends.
Sorry?
You have really good friends.
I really do. Corey Harold was another in Texas who would kind of mark it up on her iPad and send back for review. She's a published author, and so she was really helpful on more the formatting side. So I definitely had some good friends help teach me what I needed to know. I feel like I only know enough for what we do, but that's been enough to get us to this point.
And how many magazines have you guys done?
So far, we have 8 volumes out, and we are already starting volume 9.
Did you guys have any previous experience doing this kind of these kind of projects?
On the design side, I didn't have any experience with this. I had originally planned to work as a graphic designer, so I had taken a couple years of community college classes for design, and then I had been working in a creative field and had used a lot of graphic design as part of my work, but I hadn't had much experience, especially in the programs that we use for print productions like this. It's a program I'd never worked with before, so I had some graphic design experience for sure, but not anything to do with a magazine. So somewhat, but not really.
But she does have a very artistic eye and a lot of skill in that department, so that obviously really came to help out a lot.
And I was working as a photographer previously, so I guess I had more experience with photos, but laying out a magazine, definitely not. But what about you for editing? How did
So do I have any actual qualifications? No. I'm a homeschooler, a bit of a grammar nerd.
So you have qualifications. If you're a homeschooler,
you have high attention to detail, which is probably really important.
I tend to be sometimes probably too critical, but that kind of helps me for editing because I can look at things and like, I tend to see the problems and that helps out as an editor. I care about if the comma's in the right place, if there's too many commas. I grew up in a house where it was like, you're not supposed to say can I, you're supposed to say may I when you're asking things. So little grammar things like that. And I really care about things just being just right and not like, well, it's okay. But I'm like, yeah, but it's not grammatically correct. And that I started editing like emails or just like written things like the newsletter and things like that, just kind of proofing them. And that kind of, I think, got me used to it. And then there's also another lady in one of our APN groups, Cindy Little, and she is like a published author, has a bunch of degrees, and she's been super helpful as a contributing editor because she'll look through things and find ways to rewrite things or think of things that I would never have thought of. And I'll be like, oh, I didn't know that. But it's been a really good process. And then also I go back to the Always sometimes and they'll have feedback on what they want. And then sometimes Rebecca will jump in when we'll have articles as we're working on the design. Mm-hmm. We always kind of overlap a bit because mm-hmm. I'll be searching for photos, for stock photos, for mm-hmm. something or other. And then she'll be like, that doesn't look right. Or that word's repeated too many times. We need to fix something. So there's always a bit of overlap back and forth. And I think that's part of what makes it work well together. You get multiple opinions on the editing side.
You really need that because it's a creative project. There's the proper way to do things. And I think Cindy's helped a lot with, there's certain ways that text should be formatted or how you, attribute quotes to the right person. And so there have been some things with like styling of how to handle. And then there's also, is this the clearest way to write the article? Is what the person is meaning to say, is that being communicated as clearly as possible? Sometimes articles have to be shortened. And so even like editing in the best way to make things fit on the space that we have available. Sometimes it's just helpful when you get super close to a project to have other people with more fresh eyes come in and see how it looks to, someone who's not been looking at it for 2 months straight.
So the magazine goes out, it's finished. When you go back to restart publishing the new one, where do you start? Like, what's the process?
So it starts with the articles, and that really comes from your parents, from the Always. They're the ones that search to figure out who's going to write the articles. And then they'll just start sending them to me. I edit them. I work with Cindy. She edits. We go back and forth. They get approved. And then kind of once we start having most of them finalized, that's when I'll like share them with Rebecca. And then we kind of start with, and some articles I feel like really have like, they lend themselves well to pictures or like different themes, whether some people are talking about the Lord as a shepherd and that really helps. And then other articles are much more of a battle as we try to figure out kind of what would fit the right feel because, yeah, that just takes a lot sometimes. And that's kind of then it kind of goes more into her court. But then there's always, like I said, a lot of back and forth of the design and the editing kind of being completed together.
Yeah. So once the articles are mostly ready, thankfully, now that we have done a bunch, I'll usually start from the last magazine and start dropping in the articles. There's sometimes a bit of an adjustment period even of deciding what the order of articles are, because that's both dependent on the images that we use. We try to have a good flow throughout the magazine of, you know, we don't want 6 pages of nature shots in a row. We try to have a balance to that. So sometimes that will be adjusted based on the artwork that we end up choosing for an article, and then just what's before and what's after it. Also try to be conscious even of the colors so that all of the different pages have kind of a harmony to them, even if they're very different types of images, that it still flows and you're not hopefully distracted by one page seeming very different from another. The process of the design is very iterative. It usually looks so much different at the end than what we think it will at the beginning. So it's just lots of little kind of tackling one spread at a time until maybe I can't stand looking at it anymore and I'll switch to a new one. But very iterative. It can feel like a very slow process. I mean, we do this, you know, on the evenings and weekends time in addition, you know, from our full-time work. So we don't get the luxury of, you know, an all-day project time for it. So it's sometimes a challenge to really get into it with the limited time that we do have. And so it can take a good little while. And then I'm usually more on the layout of the pages, and Colleen usually helps with selecting a lot of the images. And that's a whole project in itself. So yeah, it's very collaborative.
Often a lot of hours at a coffee shop, sitting side by side, each of the laptops.
I was actually literally going to ask, the next question was how many cups of coffee goes into this
so
process?
Many.
A lot, I imagine. So and as somebody who's not good at graphic design and definitely not good at editing, just listening to you guys stresses me out. I don't know how you do it. Everyone, God has called everyone to unique things. How long does the process take? It's twice a year, so
it's probably, once I start, my goal is once I get the finished articles that it's 3 months until it's printed. So on the editing side, that's probably another
month
6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'd say all in probably about 4.5 months of once the articles are finished. So it takes people time to write articles. So I would say at least 6 months all in process for articles to be written, edited, the magazine designed. Because even once we design it, we then send it to the Always and to different other people involved with APN who also give their feedback and make reviews. So there's lots of steps in the process of other people being involved. So all together, I would say probably about 6 months.
Pretty much as soon as we finish one, we're like, okay, we'll give a little break. Then it's like kind of time to start getting more articles.
Well, I know there are people all across America that appreciate your labor. Are you guys really particular about like certain things in the magazine?
Yes.
Like what
Just
would
a
be
bit.
An example? What would be an example?
Well, it's probably different for each.
Yeah.
If you go first.
One of my really big pet peeves are like curly quotes and straight quotes. They're little things that people don't notice, but quotation marks can either be straight or curly.
Anyone else out there agrees, I never knew that was a thing until starting to work on the magazine, but it is a thing.
N dashes and M dashes being the right length, all the little sizing, spacing between letters. Once Rebecca taught me about that on the titles, now I can't unsee it.
So that you can manually adjust how far apart each letter is.
I probably bother her a little. Oh, that A and Y need to be moved a little closer together. So, and what about you?
On the image side, something I do struggle with is trying to find images that feel like prayer or look like prayer that don't feel super cheesy.
Yeah.
And also that are Christian prayer. If you look for stock photos of praying, you know, other religions have a lot more maybe iconic or more images related to that. For Christian prayer, especially, it's a struggle to find images that feel authentic but still a high quality image. That's one of the hardest
parts.
You've
taken a lot of the pictures yourself, though.
I haven't.
No.
Some of the nature photos, but all of the prayer photos.
So the nature photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Other things I'm particular about, I think the white balance, so really nerdy color photography stuff, the color tones of the images, that they're in harmony with the rest of the magazine. Sometimes a printer might print too green, and that will just it'll be my worst day if the images are printed too green. Things that, you know, maybe Colleen wouldn't notice, but white balance is something
else. But I feel like so many of those little things are kind of what makes the finished product look as good as it does, thank the Lord, is that sometimes because you the picky things that we pick apart and people are like, oh, it looks great. And we're like, yeah, we still found, like when mm-hmm. When we print a proof, so often like people be like, oh yeah, it looks good. I found two little things. And we're like, okay, great. We found like 55 little things that we like marked up through the whole thing that we want to clean up. And that's kind of what our job is to do, is to find all those nitty gritty little things.
And I would also say there are just some quirks even with working with Adobe InDesign. It's a really complicated program and I don't feel like I'm an expert at it, you know, by a mile. So there are just certain quotes that I'm, or certain glitches or things that I'll have to Google and be like, how do I turn off this thing that keeps happening whenever I type this? So some design program stuff that trips me up for sure.
All the things most of us don't think about.
Yeah.
I love it, not just for the spiritual side of it. It's an inspiration to pray more, how to pray. There's so many different sections, but it's also like a work of art. You can... just to leave it on your coffee shop, I can't, or rather the coffee table, I can't leave it on my coffee table because it'll get ripped up by my kids. But a lot of people do that, and they're just so nice and great conversation starters for your neighbors that come over and visit. Do you have any favorite things about the magazine?
I really loved from the beginning that Jerry's heart for the magazine was that it would be something beautiful. And not just a collection of, you know, good thoughts on prayer, but he really wanted the aesthetic value to be something that people would enjoy looking at. That it would be something that you could leave on your coffee table and have it be something artful and beautifully from an aesthetic perspective. So I really appreciated that. He loved when we leaned into more vibrant colors and having a lot of color and interest and nature and beauty. And that just, as a creative person, I love when the church can use the, you know, God created beauty and creativity and beautiful nature and landscapes. And I love when Christian things can really reflect God's desire for beauty. The other thing I really love is having a kids component of the magazine. So the last spread is either, we've done like testimonies from kids about prayer in their life, or Lisa does these beautiful children's stories. We have them illustrated by someone who's an amazing artist. We'll have sometimes even, you know, word search or different kid activities. And so I love the intention of making the magazine truly meant for children to enjoy as well.
Yeah, very much so. My favorite things about it, let's see. I guess one of the favorite moments is when we finally, like, because we'll do test prints of like on just like big sheets of paper, but then we finally do our first test print with the actual printer and like picking it up. It's like just to kind of see it. And usually there's still more work to be done, but like I feel like that moment of like picking up the first test print is like, oh, like, wow, this looks so good. And like that's a really good feeling after all the work going into it. And then I also really love sometimes like I edit article after article and we'll work on them. And then you kind of sometimes almost lose the big picture a little bit, I feel like, because you're like, okay, I've done this article. A month later, I did that article. And then it's really cool, I feel like, at the end to kind of just see how it all comes together. I was talking recently with someone about how, like, I remember it specifically in this last volume, how I was like kind of, as I was reading through it at the end, I was like, wow, like the way the Holy Spirit had just like brought all the articles together, because it's not like they really tell people exactly what to write on. Like they might give them a category that they're writing on for the authors, but then it's just like at the end to see like how the Lord really brought all the different articles and how there's just a flow through it that only the Lord can do. It's not us in that. I feel like that's just like a really encouragement of like God's hand on it and like his approval on the whole project. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite things as someone who really loves politics is the God and government section. Mm. And then also the importance of praying for all those that are in authority, as the scripture says. And then, of course, the other favorite thing is that it's free, which is what magazine do you get delivered to your house that's free, which is awesome. Any funny stories?
Well, I did make one really – it's probably my biggest mistake I've ever made with the magazine. I was printing all the labels because we do package these all in-house now because we've just found that's the easiest way of doing it. And I accidentally printed the wrong return address on all of them. And it was hundreds and hundreds of them.
That almost made the magazine not free anymore.
It was a very painful moment as they were all printed wrong. It was a very painful moment, but managed to figure out a way to like, I dropped a little box because he couldn't get them refunded. I can do that with packages, but not with envelopes. I learned that lesson the hard way because packages you can. And I'm like, this is a lot of postage and they all have the wrong return address. But what I did figure out how I could do is I could drop a little box, a white box, and fake print in the right return address and reprinted them all with the correct return address. So I survived, but that was
a dark day.
That was not fun. Really hated that one.
My claim to fame for a mess up was on the one of the magazines. I don't even remember which you probably might, but I had made some adjustment on the kids page, and sometimes when you move some artwork, it moves some of the text as well, depending on how you have the layout set up. So we had finalized it, so many different people proofed the magazine, it went to proof, and we printed, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of magazines, and I think we were at church even with preparing to like start packaging them, or somehow some kids came up and they paid a lot more attention to the kids article and noticed that a few words were missing from like the edges of some text, and it was a big enough deal that it made the story.
Were those kids homeschooled?
They were actually all homeschoolers.
Yes, that makes sense.
So, and they weren't just being grammar nerds. They were just looking for the missing words from their article. Missing. And they were, they were pretty upset, understandably. And so they always didn't want to send a imperfect magazine. So we did figure out that we could tear off because the front cover and the back cover is one long sheet of paper. And so we tore off the covers of probably about
a thousand
magazines, beautifully printed magazines.
Yes.
They're stapled. So we tore them off. Oof. The printing place was so kind to do a great job color matching and reprinted the correct and then restapled them on. But it was a mountain of work. And
so if you look back through your magazines and find the one that has two staples on it, actually, I just remembered that. That's how you will know which one it was.
Wow.
I forgot about that.
I never noticed. I got the magazine. I never noticed the extra staples.
Just so we've each made our fair share of mistakes through this process.
Wow. So do you have any favorite memories?
Okay. So
related to this project, not in life.
So if we're going to narrow it down to just this project, I will say the first time we met up with the Always to show them the first draft of the magazine. So up until that point, they had sent us the articles. They had given us some loose creative direction, but they didn't know what this should look like. Your dad was just being obedient to the Lord and starting this project. And we really took a lot of time. We wanted to get the magazine up to like a really good point before we showed it to them. And so Colleen and I had worked for I don't know how long at that point, and we had made the magazine and we did a test print and we were meeting up at a cafe to sit down and go over it. And we found out later that your mom had kind of told your dad in the car to be like, if it's really ugly, like, be nice. Like, we just are going to be supportive. We are going to just be supportive and kind of like control your face. Or maybe your dad told your mom. I don't know. Somehow they were preparing for amateur hour and just that it was going to look kind of rough and they were just going to have a good attitude. And it was so sweet when we first sat down with the first version and they started flipping through it. The enthusiasm of their reactions was one of the most heartwarming things like of my life. They were so happy and ecstatic and like in shock. Like every page, it was like we had invented something, never before seen. They were so happy. And it was just so rewarding for Colleen and I because we were really out of our depths. We didn't really know what we were doing, but it was an exciting project and we were getting really proud of it. And I think just seeing their reaction, I don't know what they were expecting it to look like, but I think it far exceeded their expectations. And ever since, they've always been so supportive and encouraging.
I think it's exceeded everybody's expectations. Everyone I talk to, she's blown away by it.
And I do actually think one of the my favorite parts about the magazine is when I get to hand them the first proof or one of the proofs. I'll be like, sometimes we're working on it, I'm like, oh, Hannah's going to love this one. Like, this one's going to get them excited. Like, she always, when she's like, you guys, I can't believe it. So it is a very encouraging whenever we like here's the proof, to watch her flip through it. It's a very fun
part of the process. They're always so genuinely excited and just,
That's
makes awesome. It so rewarding.
I know, like, for me, when I'm preparing sermons and doing ministry work, the Lord uses that, and there's so many benefits. Like, the Lord often, I think pastors often talk about, when you're preparing messages, the Lord uses that to sanctify you and to draw you closer to Him. Are there any benefits that you've seen working on a magazine? I know it's a lot of it's in the natural. There might be natural benefits or spiritual benefits from doing this.
For sure. So the year that we started working on this was, I believe, 2021. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had a business, and Colleen and I started working with APN for many months. And it involved a good amount of travel together, visiting the meetings, spending hours learning how to make a magazine. And we had been friends since we were kids, but this was definitely like the most time we'd probably ever spent together.
And you're still friends.
And we're still friends.
We are still friends.
And we got to be even better friends. But then in the fall, I had a gift box company, or a clothing brand and gift box company. And what was so cool is I had been wanting to start doing a print catalog, but didn't really know where to start. And I remember that this project, it was like, oh my goodness, God has given me the tools now to do this for myself. So he ended up, Colleen started helping me with my business a ton, and we together created a kind of a mini magazine for the business. I actually just remembered that as I'm sitting here. And I remember thinking, like, God so used the timing of that for our creating. I would use the same program, the same kind of layout, just a different size, and made this whole print catalog that we used for that winter. And then the other huge benefit is actually after we kept spending so much time working together, and both on my project and with APN, that actually a few months later, I asked Colleen if she would join my company as a business partner, and she agreed. And so we've kept working together very closely on both APN and our business ever since the beginning of 2022 officially, but started the year before with the magazine.
You guys are busy.
A little bit. That's why really we only work in the magazine nights and weekends.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I would just say that was a huge benefit that neither of us expected. It was a blessing to get to help. I guess one last thing, then I'll stop talking, is I am not as involved in ministry help as Colleen is with. You do so much with missions work, and you were a lot more involved in the logistics of APN meetings. But it was definitely a blessing to get to have a skill that would be useful for the ministry and to get to be involved in some way.
Yeah, it's always a really special feeling to just, like, because it can be sometimes a little bit like, oh, we got to get this done. It's kind of like a little bit of a burden as you're like, okay, got to get this done. It's been a couple months, and it's because we are very busy, like you said, with other stuff. And then sometimes just like, but then just like when you finally get it done and you then hear like people, how it's blessing their lives and things like that. It's just like, that it's so rewarding. And obviously I know we have a reward in heaven, but it's always so encouraging to hear like how much it's blessing other people. Other than that, I'm trying to think specifically, but I feel like just one of the things that I appreciate is how timeless this is. Like this morning, because we were going to do this, I went and flipped through like every single volume, not like reading everything, just kind of flipped through all the pages of it, looking back through all of it. And just like, I started reading a little bit of one of the articles and that just, it kind of impacted me. And I was just like, man, this magazine was, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And it's still like, nothing in it is so like, oh, like, yeah, that's old news. It's not like time stamped really. It's just like, oh wow, that still can really edify my life years later. Mm. So I really appreciate that aspect of it.
And it really motivates people to pray. And I imagine for you guys, as your deadline approaches for the new magazines, it probably makes you pray a lot more too. I know, I'm sure by the time even this podcast is produced, there's going to be more subscribers. It's growing. But at the time of this recording, how many subscribers do you guys know?
We have about 850 subscribers, going to almost 30 states now. Wow. And we actually have gotten, the magazine has gone to, I think, Guatemala, to the UK, I believe, to France. A couple went to India. Somebody took some back to India with him. And then just recently had somebody request for one to go to Australia. It hasn't quite made it there. I shipped it, but I'm still kind of, I'm like, let me know when it gets there. But it's just really cool to see the
reach
it's
growing. And that doesn't include people that pick them up America Pray Now meetings.
Yeah, because we have like 850 subscribers, but then we always print a bunch extra.
Right.
And like you said, that subscriber count really has been growing
Churches
lately.
That might put them in the foyer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if you see them and you like them, you can also go to our site and then you can flip through all the old ones on there because we have them all uploaded onto the website. Mm-hmm. We do, sometimes people request them. We do still have some of the old volumes in stock, but we do run out. But you can go onto the website and look through all of them. So
Say you're shipping to 30 states right now?
Almost 30. I think it's 29, although one of those is Puerto Rico. So 28 states in one territory.
So if a subscriber wants, like, they're getting their magazine delivered to their house, but they want more copies, how can somebody do that, like, for friends and neighbors and churches?
Oh, yeah, that's super easy. If you just go on our website, there's, like, a contact us submission form, and you can just say, hey, I'd like to get 10 of them. I know there's one church that I regularly ship 30 to whenever we print. Wow. I think they take 30, like, I ship 30 to them, so that way they can distribute them in their church, which is great. So, yeah, it's easy to do.
That's awesome. So if you are a listener and you haven't gotten the magazine, AmericaPrayNow.com, and it's free. So you're missing out if you're not getting it. And you can get the old copies on the website as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you guys so much. This has been really educational for me. I knew it was a lot of work, but now I'm even more thankful for all that you guys do for the magazine. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to the America Pray Now podcast. You can sign up to receive this magazine by visiting our website at AmericaPrayNow.com. We also meet in 17 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also meet in West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Please see our website for dates and times. And until next time, may God bless you.